I am afraid I am a wee bit general in my way of thinking, because there were many in the earth life that I loved very fondly, and they are just like all the world to me. It is such a delight to me to be able to come near to them again, and, my dear, dear old man, I am never far away from you. God bless you, Chrissy. God bless you, Miss Dearie, and God bless you, my dear old man. That evening she had much more to say, and her remarks will be found in their appropriate places. 200. Here in this chapter we are considering what our friends on the other side had to say regarding their contact with us. A lady school teacher, who was sometimes one of the sitters, once received the following message from her mother. Isabel, Mamma is speaking. You know all my friends. Remember me to them all, Isabel, and all my love to you, darling. A Scottish minister, whose church a lady present attended before his death, spoke at these seances from time to time. He never referred to the creeds and doctrines which were the subject of his sermons on earth. Always he dwelt on the importance of righteousness. On this occasion he ended a long discourse with these words. Many times, although you do not see the friends, they are helping you from day to day as you travel on, and blessing and guiding you on your way, although you do not know it. Some of the sitters had sons or relations abroad during one period of the Second World War, and one evening in the course of conversation between the two worlds this is what was said. Your friends are all thinking of you. They bear you up, and those of you who have dear ones far away, they are looking after them for you, and they will care for you in every stage of life. It is particularly those who are distant from their home surroundings that I am referring to. There is an ever-watchful eye, in keeping with your prayerful thoughts that crosses space, conveying a loving. 201. Word, a thought expression, which brings back the sense of home, and comforts them in their lonely times. God bless you. A Red Indian on the other side, who was well known to most of the sitters present, once remarked, "Memory is a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing, and it is so nice if you have stored up beautiful thoughts and kind thoughts that you can dwell on afterwards. I have not been here at your meetings for a little time. I am still interested in you. I know all of you here, and many more who are not here now, but have passed into other scenes, and are watching and guiding your footsteps with loving eyes until you meet again." This remark led to a general conversation between the two worlds, other Aetherians taking part. One was the son of a lady present, and he remarked how nice it was to hold his mother's warm hand. Then he said that his grandfather would speak, and this is what he said. "It is more wonderful perhaps to us to get the touch of your warm hand, and feel in the actual presence of those we love so well." Another homely touch came later in the same seance when a relation in Aetheria of a lady present replied to a question she asked him. It was, "Had you a painful death, Ike?" "No, I am so well now and so happy. Just you think of me as the happy, happy boy that you knew long ago. I will not miss an opportunity of coming to speak to you again. I tried hard to get through. I have to thank Bob for showing me the way. Isaac, I never liked the name Isaac. I liked Ike better." 202. You had a nice way of saying it that somehow took the rough edge off it. Once a regular communicator from the other side, the son of a gentleman present, spoke to a lady in these words. "Good evening, Mrs. Richardson, I have met you before, but not very often. You have a boy on the spirit side I know, for I saw him standing beside you, although he was not speaking tonight. He went over in a very youthful state, I think." And then followed a dramatic event, when out of the silence came the cheery voice of this young man who said to his mother, "Oh, mother, I am a big strapping fellow now. Can you hear me, mother? It is just Roy Richardson." On one occasion the grandfather in Aetheria of a lady present had just spoken to her, when a new voice spoke. This is what we heard. "I have come down near your plane. It is not your grandfather speaking now. I just wish to say it is such a delight for all these friends of yours of far-off times when they get into contact with you. I am one of the workers, one of the demonstrators, just doing what I can to hold the doors open and show them the way. Sometimes your friends may be speaking to you and you do not hear them. We do all we can to help by connecting the vibrations. Once there spoke the voice of one who on earth must have had the psychic gift, though he seemed not to realize how rare it is amongst the people of Earth. It was in the stillness of the evening, when I was on your Earth plane, I used to get into some secluded 203 spot in the twilight, delighting in the evening breeze, and listening to the vibrations of those whom I knew were near me somewhere, although I was not physically conscious of their presence. I had the intuition that higher beings than myself were present, and that my immortal soul was being drawn higher towards heaven, and messages of love, though not in an audible sense, were poured into my heart. That attribute is yours, each and every one of you, so set apart a little time to commune with those you love, and who love you still, although just a little way ahead of you in the road of life. We are all going the same way home. God bless you. The conversation once turned to the difficulty most people had in believing in communication with the departed, when a strong man's voice broke in and said, "When I was in Earth life, I could not say I believed it, but I had the consciousness, ladies and gentlemen, in my soul that there were people around me, talking to me. I seemed to sense their presence and even to know what they looked like, and, when I came to this side of life, I knew them quite well when they came and spoke to me, and they were not relations at all, but they were friends. A friend is a friend who will always remain a friend if he is a true friend." Well, there are a lot of friends in that sentence. One of the ladies present once said she regretted not being able to remember her dreams. Then we heard the name of an Aetherian, who was well known to most of the sitters, and this is what he said to a lady present whom he addressed by name. 204 I think I might explain a little bit about it. You are often away in your sleep state, and, returning, you know you have met many people on the other side, but you cannot hold these memories or put them in right order. That will come easier by and by. Not so many nights ago you had a very vivid dream of those you love. Before she could reply, another voice, that of the husband of a lady present, broke in and continued the conversation. His wife replied that she hoped she might meet him in her sleep, and he answered, "You do not need to hope, my dear, we shall meet. You often meet us in your sleep. I am sure you all know that. You often bring back memories, but they get so jumbled up when you are wakening that you cannot piece them together. Now we are coming to the end of this long chapter, long because they had always so much to say about their contact with us. They can see and hear us in our everyday life, but we cannot see or hear them except under unusual conditions, and in that way they have an advantage over us. They claim to be able to look after us, but we cannot look after them, and they talk about their contact with us in ways which it is sometimes difficult for us to understand or appreciate. There is more in earth and heaven than most philosophies embrace, and with that let me give you the words of one who once spoke to us in the following poetic strain. The spirit of the evening breeze, the spirit whose ears are strained to catch the supplications of those whom they love to answer, to catch the deep call from your heart and succor you, are ever ready to. 205. Answer that call. There is nothing hid, so you need not fear to tell them all, and, if it is possible, they will help you. We have trod the path before you, we know its roughness, we know the uphill pull, we know how the plain so clear and smiling can suddenly be transmuted into a mountain difficult to climb, but be not dismayed. Helping hands, beckoning fingers, are near to guide you and help you onwards and onwards. This chapter can best be terminated by the words of one who often spoke to us, and this is what he once said as he brought us to a close, "My dear friends, I wish I had the power and that I could direct you all into the path of rest, the path of joy, and the path of happiness, but unfortunately, During the earth life you are in, you cannot always take these paths. I have tried to show you the pathway which leads from the cares and troubles of the world life, to rest and peace, to home and friends at last, never more to part again. God bless you. Finally, these were the words a husband once addressed to his wife. I did not get saying goodbye to you, but I will say welcome home someday. She felt the touch of his vanished hand over her face, and the satisfaction she received can also be visualized by those who have their nearest and dearest awaiting them on the other side, as what applied to her applies to all. 206. Chapter 12, Their Religion. My many friends on the other side seldom spoke about their religious opinions. To them what we call religion is something very different from what it is to most people on earth. Here on earth we associate religion with saviors, creeds, ceremonials, rituals, churches, mosques, temples, priests and sacred books, but there it is far different. As we progress in etheria we shall forget the theology we were taught on earth, because we shall find everything is so unlike what most people here are brought up to believe. What we have been taught is holy and sacred is natural and ordinary. There is nothing sacred or holy in the conversations here reported. We were not speaking to angels, saints, or devils, but to men, women and children who had lived on earth, and are in character much the same now as they were then. The fact that they come to us in a finer body does not change them from being natural into supernatural beings. Now they know that the religious teaching they received on earth was false and the result of theological and mystical imagination. What were ordinary psychic manifestations have been evolved and elaborated into holy and sacred events which all must believe to be saved. Consequently, the people of etheria pass over those things, which orthodoxy considers of vital importance to mankind, because 207 they have found them to be untrue, unreal, and unrelated to the new life they are now living. So long as fear and ignorance of the hereafter remain, the orthodox form of religion will continue to be accepted by those whose religious outlook is confined to the traditions of the past. Nevertheless, to rely on the past and try to obtain comfort and enlightenment from ancient sacred writings, while ignoring the greater knowledge of the present, is foolish. Yet the tradition taught to us when our minds were young and plastic is an iron chain which few can break, and the vast majority lean on it as a support to obtain their comforts and religious satisfaction. Without knowledge of the truth they rely for their salvation on forms and ceremonies, on the repetition of formulae and creeds, on acts of worship, on baptism, Eucharists, the last rites and such like, until their church or temple becomes a sacred shrine, and the purveyors of the dogmas and doctrines are considered holy men set apart by God from the rest of mankind. On one occasion we were talking amongst ourselves at one of Sloane's séances about the ignorance of the clergy concerning psychic matters, when the strong voice of an old friend interrupted our conversation with these words. You see, they are bound up so much with their own denominations and the tradition of the church. They are really in bondage, they are not allowed to teach this truth, although they may acknowledge it in their own souls. It is only sometimes, when they come over to this side of life, and get in touch. 208. With the spiritual side of life, that they waken up, and can do something that helps others. To only the few has the other world been revealed, and to those who have not been favored by a psychic experience the crutch of orthodox religion is often a very present help. Anything that helps us to live righteously and to die in peace should not be condemned. Unfortunately, ignorance produces intolerance, and this in the past has caused such persecution and cruelty that the history of many religions, especially the Muslim and Christian, has been so shocking and revolting as to discredit utterly their claims of divine guidance. 25 million victims slaughtered during the Christian era by the Christian Church should weigh heavily on the Christian conscience, but it does not because of ignorance of church history. When the faithful of every religion reach the other side they naturally expect to find things to be as they believed on earth. Consequently, as they can make their surroundings conform to their thoughts. Some believe, as I was once told by an Aetherian, that they have actually entered the Orthodox heaven. However, as their enlightenment grows, these earth beliefs fade away, and they adjust themselves to prevailing conditions. Instead of what was once to them a sacred mystery, they find themselves in a body similar to their earth body, in a new world very much like the earth they have left, its inhabitants being men, women, and children, actively and usefully employed, and not winged angels forever playing harps and singing praise to God. Consequently, they discover that amongst the intelligent. 209. And those who have been in Aetheria for some time, religion is regarded from a different aspect to what it is on earth. This chapter will make clear how those who spoke at Sloane's seances regard religion, which to us on earth has been as great a force in molding history as any other factor. At least half the events in history have been caused by religion, and yet, when the mystery and intolerance it caused have been removed, how natural everything is. Then we realize how much suffering, confusion and waste of wealth have come from the ignorance of mankind of what follows death. Here let me quote the opinion of one who has gone before, and who knows more than do all the mystics, theologians and priests of earth who have expressed their erroneous opinions down the ages. This is what he said. God never meant religion to be a mystery. It is man who has made it so. His handiwork is plain enough for all to understand, and religion was never meant to be in any way different. What should be simple has been made obscure. You have but to do your best, no one can do better, and the future will gradually unfold before you and your duty be made clear. How much more satisfying is this rational and more natural outlook than that which is taught in the creeds, doctrines and dogmas of Christianity, or any other world religion. Earth religions have produced gods, angels, saints and devils out of those human beings of earth who have passed on, to be considered divine or malign when they have come back to 210. Commune with the people of this world. Nevertheless, this book proves them to be human like ourselves, and that many are, like ourselves, still trying to understand more of the mystery of God and of existence. One who was an unbeliever in any religion when on earth, the fiancé of one of the sitters, once spoke to us in these words. I am now trying to do God's will as far as I can. I do not know exactly what the will of God is. We never fathom that even on our side, but we reach forward, stage by stage, doing the Father's will as far as we can grasp it, doing our best to follow the pathway which is directed to us by the shining ones above us, knowing that the only road to progress is by doing the will of the great ones. Have you ever taken into consideration, my friends, of course I cannot go into details about it, but you speak about the Word of God. When you say that, are you speaking about the Bible? If not, I am afraid I have misconstrued your meaning. The Word of God was far before Bible times. You must not have your own understanding of God's will. I am not speaking about what you believe, it is what you are. Emphatically said, may I say this, it is not what the world thinks you are, not what your friends around you think you are, it is what you are within yourself. Immediately on passing to this side, and friends have got you really wakened up, you land in a condition suited to your spiritual development, at the stage which you left on the earth plane. It is up to your own self and those who are working. 211. With you, how you progress thereafter. For everyone who passes over there are some dear ones waiting to receive them, but they cannot take them to the condition which they have not reached. They can only meet them at the gateway, and then they have got to say goodbye until those who have just passed reach that condition which they have attained. It is service that is the lever which lifts us all up through the spirit planes. Another unbeliever in earth religions when he was on earth, returned to tell us that he had found that materialism is not the correct answer to the eternal problem. In answer to a question I put to him after a long conversation he replied, I must go now, but before going I would like to tell you, sir, that I was brought up in the Roman Catholic faith, But I did not come over here as a Roman Catholic. Before coming here I gave up all creeds. I came here a free thinker, but I was wrong in not believing in survival. I came here minus my physical body. When I keep in touch with the earth plane, my surroundings are practically on a par with the physical world, but in the higher spheres we get away from earth conditions. Now I have for the time being taken on earth conditions, and I am part of your world. I will touch you. I felt a touch on my left arm, and I am conscious of that touch. Sloane's hands and feet were controlled by me, and the stenographer could not have reached me. In fact, the speaker had no sooner said the words than I felt the touch. Many of us here in our normal state often touch our friends on earth, and at first are much distressed that no notice is taken of us. 212. Forgetting that with our more refined bodies we cannot be seen or felt. I must go now, goodbye. An Etherian who had been a Scottish Presbyterian minister in Glasgow returned at times to speak at the Sloane Circle. On this occasion, after giving his name to a sitter who had been a member of his church, he said, "May the peace of the great loving Father come nigh to you, to each one of you individually, and give to each one individually the desire of fulfillment of the wish that is closest to the heart, if it be in accordance with thy will, zero holy one, and, if it be thy will, give them the courage, the strength, and the ability to spread this truth amongst men, to help them on their journey towards this side of life. Do all in love, if I may put it that way, and commit thy ways unto the will of the great Father, and what is for your benefit, and for the benefit of all in earth life, will be granted unto you in accordance with his will. God bless you all. We are all happy here. Just working, and doing our best to make those we have left behind know that we do not feel the parting so much because we can be in touch with them although they do not always know it." Such a change from the way he had preached when on earth. The above remarks came from a man who died an Orthodox Christian and is now a Unitarian. His Trinitarianism, creeds and dogmas, and his earth theology, being passed by as obsolete. Like the others who spoke, he now believed in one God, not in three, thus rejecting the majority opinion of the Council of Nicaea, which produced Christianity as 213. We now know it in 325 AD, when an assembly of ignorant priests pronounced on the nature of God. When one of the sitters asked a speaker if he now had any further knowledge of God than he had on earth, the reply he received was this: "The kingdom of God, that inner consciousness which emanates from the Spirit of the Great Eternal, is within you, and it is in all of you to raise it to an understanding which will help you and help others. God bless you, keep you, and help you to understand. I must go now, but I will come again. I have to go away just from your immediate surroundings, but I shall deem it a favor to come some other time to greet you all again. Your earthly experiences are just a stage in spiritual progress. Those they call the masters, or the one they call the master, are advanced Etherians who come down from their higher to the lower planes to guide and teach. It is a name given on earth to leaders or teachers, but I have never heard the word used by Etherians in a religious sense as it is sometimes used on earth. I mention this because of what a Red Indian once said, and it is interesting to notice how much more emotional the Indians were when speaking on religion than were the more phlegmatic Europeans who carried on most of the conversation from the other side. This is what the Indian said: "You do not need to go down on your knees to make a strenuous effort to reach the Great Father God. Throw out your thoughts and say, 'Great Father, I need your help. I have come to a part of the road when I can go no further without thy 214. Help. Lead me by the hand, and the Master will come to the rescue, and someone will be sent to help you. I speak to you all. There are times when difficulties may seem overwhelming. Then say, 'Come, dear Father, into thy hands I commend my way, and the spirit friends, pathfinder and such as he, will come and guide you.' I am one of the Indians speaking. It is Green Tree. Pathfinder, another Indian, followed on when Green Tree had finished speaking, and said to a gentleman present, God bless you, my brother. May the love of the Great Father be with you and guide you. There were some difficult paths which you had to tread, and there are some little difficulties you will yet have to go through. Put your hand out to the Great Father God, and the guiding spirit will come and lead you and tell you how to proceed. I am Pathfinder. It will be noticed throughout this book how they always stress that our character and way of life is what matters, and in the following chapter they tell us the results which follow. Consequently, everyone is wise who follows the advice once given to us, which was in these words. You have all but a short time on the earth plane, and it is up to you who are there to make the best of your opportunities, walking that pathway in such a way as to bring satisfaction to your own soul and joy to those about you, and, in the everlasting time, rejoicing will be yours when you reach paradise at last. When a sitter once asked a friend on the other side, 215. Whether certain of his friends, who had passed on, were happy, he received this reply. There is no doubt about them being happy. Whether you will be in their condition lies with yourself for your life on earth. I am speaking in a general way. If you do your best, that is all that is expected, and the best can do no better. How satisfying it is to know that if we do our best, no more can be expected of us. How just and reasonable it is, and yet how different it all is from what has been taught in the past in the name of religion. No one in the past could be sure of his or her destiny, because each was told that at the second coming, which might happen any day, one would be taken up to heaven and the other left, some were elected and others were outcasts, some were predestined to glory and others to eternal damnation in flames of fire. All had to remain asleep in the grave until the resurrection and final judgment, when the sheep would be separated from the goats. Who were the sheep and who were the goats none could be sure, but at least this teaching kept the people fearful and the churches full. Those who were regarded as the faithful, and the most generous, received the most comforting assurances as to their future, while the multitude, unable to think for themselves, accepted what they were told by the priests. This was profitable for the priesthood who held a high position in the land and, being human, they made the most of the prevailing ignorance. With very limited education the system worked by keeping the masses docile and obedient, and the fear of punishment hereafter doubtless deterred many in. 216. Evildoer. Progress, however, was retarded, anything new being attributed to the devil, and many a sorrowing one would have been comforted had knowledge replaced ignorance and the fate of the departed been known as it really was. Unfortunately, ignorance still prevails, and, if everyone knew the truth, how much sorrow would be lightened, and how much happier life would be to many who mourn without knowledge. An Etherian who spoke to a lady sitter at length, and who said he knew her father well in Etheria, concluded a long and interesting talk with these words. Just continue, friends, in your walk through life to help others, and all will be well with you. You know, friends, if the world could only realize today that it is the will of God that men should help each other as they go along, the world would go on quite happily without wars, tumult, and disturbances, but it is still far from that. A lady present once had a long talk with her father in Etheria. What he said on other subjects is given elsewhere, but the following seems suitable for this chapter. Turning to a gentleman present, he said after all, have you ever thought that life is a noble thing? The possibilities you have in your journey through life to do good, grasp them with both hands, for every one of them is accounted for, my brother, and will assist you when you come to this side. On another occasion a gentleman present spoke for some minutes with a friend on the other side, and in the course of the conversation this Etherian remarked, 217. We aspire for the better, you know, most of us, and if you only let the light, the knowledge of the truth of the Great One, penetrate your soul, and pass that knowledge on to others less fortunate than you are, we shall feel we have accomplished something in the Master's service. During the Second World War, the subject of loving one's enemies was discussed between an Aetherian and a lady present. After he had given a long address on this and other subjects, he concluded with these words: "If you give love to your enemy, well, you are giving love on both sides where it can be used."